Father, we want your presence to fill this room. We want your presence to fill our hearts and our lives. We thank you, Lord, for being with us today. We thank you, Lord, that your presence is here. And Lord, that we can experience the glory of who you are in this place. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for providing for us. And thank you, Lord, for directing our lives. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. One of the things that my wife posted this week that really caught my heart and my attention was, it said, don't build a church to attract people. Build a church to attract God, and people will come. God will take care of the people. We're not here for us. We're here for Him. We're here to try to attract God to our presence and to be here. And he tells us, where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is also with them. And praise God that we have a church that tries to find the presence of God, and then we just get to join him. And praise God for that. Do that. We're looking at, starting a couple of weeks ago, the seven laws of the harvest for us that come with a little book that was written a couple of years ago and by John Lawrence, called The Seven Laws of the Harvest, looking at Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through 9, and helping us understand that there's harvest laws that come out of this verse to help us understand the very simple principles of how that we live our life and how that we should be living our life as believers in Christ and following after Him. The first law is that we reap much that we did not sow. That means we get to experience the joy and the presence of what other people have done in their lives, that we get to benefit from that. Praise God for that. Some of you were not here when this building was built. Some of you were not here when this church started. This building was built 4 years ago by the faithful gifts of His people. The day we walked in and took our key in the door, we did not owe one single dime on this church when it was built. It was built by the faithful donations of His people, by people who have gave time and effort and energy and volunteers. And so we were able to build this church without going into debt. That allowed us to continue amazing ministries, not only here, but around the world. We have people that we support in other parts of the world, in Korea and in Romania, and different places around Texas and Colorado. And during the middle of while we were building this church, God directed us to give $50,000 to disaster relief down in Texas. And some of us looked at it and go, God, are you sure? We're trying to raise money, not give it away. And God said, you just give and trust me. And we did. And God allowed us to do that. And because of that, God blessed. And He continues to bless. And we praise God for that, that He does that. We reap sometime what we did not sow. Others were faithful years ago, back in the late 50s, early 60s, to say, we want to start a church in Westcliff. And they started this little church. And for years and years and years, it was 10, 12, 15 people. And praise God that they remained faithful. And we today get to reap the benefits of the foundation that they placed. And I don't know who put a foundation in your life. Maybe it was a parent. Maybe it was a neighbor. Maybe it was an uncle or an aunt or grandparent. But somebody did something in your life that you get to reap the benefits of. And that's the first law of the harvest. We get to reap the benefits of things that we did not plant and we did not sow. And we praise God for that. The second one is, we reap the same kind as we sow. If we plant a certain plant, then that's what we're going to get. If we plant corn, we can't expect to get squash. If we plant an apple tree, we can't expect to get peaches. Whatever we plant is what we're going to reap. That's very important to understanding that, as we looked at that last week, to help us understand that when we plant something, whether good or bad, expect that to grow. Expect that to grow. We talked about that last week. Sometime we sow our wild oats and then expect and then pray for a crop failure. It just doesn't work that way, right? We're going to reap what we sow. Today we look at the third law, and the third law is this. We reap in a different season than we sow. We reap in a different season than we sow. Now, I love, and my daughter Ashley loves also, squash casserole that Gwen makes. I love squash casserole. Man, you take that squash and you cook it, and then you mix it in with some Ritz crackers and some eggs, and she has, I don't know what she does to it, and about a half a pound of butter do all that stuff, and you bake it and put it, man, it's amazing. Well, I was hungry for some today, so this morning I got up and I planted some squash seeds out in the yard. And so when I get home at lunch today, I'm expecting to get some squash off of those plants, and I'm going to have me some squash casserole for lunch. You think that'll work? Doesn't work that way, does it? You see, this law tells us we reap in a different season than what we sow. We sow for another season. We sow for another season. God promising never to flood the earth again also promises the law of sowing and harvesting in different seasons will not cease. But it's going to happen. If I want something 6 months from now, I better sow it now. I cannot wait till the day I want squash to put seeds out in the yard and see if they're going to grow. It just doesn't work that way. You reap in a different season than you sow. Look at Genesis 8:22. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, and winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Don't worry about the world fading away, because God's going to keep it going until God says no. That's it. It's only going to happen. Man is not going to destroy the earth unless God allows him. God is going to keep that. That's a promise. It's absurd to think that we could plant something this morning and get it at lunch today. But how often do we live our lives trying to sow and try to harvest in the same season? You ever get frustrated? Man, I tried this and it didn't work, so I quit. I tried it and it didn't work, so I quit. Harvest never comes immediately after planting. The Bible tells us it comes in due season. In Ecclesiastes 3:1, it says this, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. This law speaks to every area of our life. Every area of our life. It speaks to our married life. You want a strong marriage, you better plant some things in that marriage. You don't just say, I'm going to have a strong marriage tomorrow and not do something about it today. You plant and you do things. I love to see strong marriages. I love to see families that have been together for years. I love to see people in this church. Sometime we've celebrated people that are married 60 something years, and it just, praise God for that. Praise God for those who've made it those 50 and 60 years, because I can just tell you, young people, when you get married that first year, you just want to eat each other up. That second year, you wish you had. No, not really. What I'm saying is, if you want a strong marriage that's going to last 10, 20, 30 years, you better start planting now. You don't wait till you get to the 30th year anniversary and say, hey, I think we'll start working on our relationship. You work on it every day, and it builds and it grows, and you do that. In our home life, in our children's life, what we plant in our children today may not show up today, but the Bible tells us there that train up a child in the way in which he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That is a principle of God's Word that says, if I want my child to be a strong, productive citizen in this world, I need to start planting in them when they're little. I need to start helping them grow when they're little. I need to start giving them some direction, giving them some boundaries in their life. Now, God is a God of boundaries. And God does boundaries when he created the garden and he put Adam and Eve there. The first thing he did, he says, you can do whatever you want, but there's boundaries. Here's a boundary. Don't eat of this tree. Don't go outside of this boundary area here. God says he gives us boundaries. And as human beings, God wants us to have boundaries too. I love to go to the grocery store and hear some kid running down the aisle screaming, and you go over to the parent and says, I don't know if you know this or not, but your child is screaming and going crazy. Oh, I didn't know that. Folks, if we don't set boundaries for our children when they're young, I'm not saying that we abuse them by any means, but God says in His Word, boundaries are important. If we want strong, productive teenagers, if we want strong, productive young adults, if we want strong young families, then we're going to have to start training our children at early ages. That's why this church tries to do everything they can to provide things like Vacation Bible School and Awanas and mission trips and opportunities for children to grow and Sunday school and other activities. Everything we try to do is saying, let's help a family with their children. Help them to become productive adults in doing that. So important. Our work life, same thing. Our financial life. We cannot expect to have financial freedom and financial power if we today don't take care of our finances. If we don't take care of today, guess what? 10, 20 years down the road, we're going to be in a mess. It's called reaping something at a different season than what we do. Health life, important. You can't say, man, one of these days I'm going to get up and I'm going to start exercising. So you say, okay, today I'm going to do a sit-up. So you sit up in bed, then you lay down at night. You go, that's one. We want to be healthy. We got to take care of ourselves. The things that we eat, the things that we do, our activities, getting ourselves in shape physically. You'll find that out up here real quick. You don't. If you're not in shape up here, you just walk up those two steps and you'll go, whew, that was hard. You'll run out of air real quick. You'll find that. Because we often operate on our emotions rather than biblical content, we sow without regards to this law. We say, whatever I sow today, I'm not worried about it. But we reap at a different time. So the first thing, we sow for another season. And part of the problem is we want what we want when we want it. You know what I'm talking about? We live in an instant society. Man, we got instant everything. You got a microwave, you got everything. I mean, you can put popcorn in the microwave. Now, some of you kids and those young people don't understand what it means to put your popcorn in a pot, put the lid on, put it on there and shake it. You know what I'm talking about? You shake it until it finally pops up and comes out. Or maybe you got Jiffy Pop. Remember Jiffy Pop? It had the big old whatever that aneurysm thing was. It came up on top. It had a foil on there and you'd shake it and you'd blow up on top. Now you put your microwave popcorn in there and you sit there and go, come on, 2 minutes really? Come on, hurry up. We put things in. You bake potato in 3 or 4 minutes in your microwave. We used to have to stick them in the oven and wait till Tuesday, you know. Seem like. Everything's instant. We want instant gratification. We want instant everything. God says, time. We like jokingly sometimes say, Lord, give me patience and give it to me now. You ever said that? I can tell you right now from experience, don't pray for patience. You start praying for patience, God's going to put you in a situation where you're going to need patience. And He'll say, okay, you want patience? Let's go through this and see how you like it. See how you do. Everything. We are geared to things like Jiffy Lube, you know. Go get your oil changed in 5 minutes or less. Call and get your pizza delivered to your house in a few minutes. We all those things that are happen. I read where a funeral home in California, now this is true, a funeral home in California now has a drive-through viewing area. They have glass windows and they put the caskets and you can drive through and give your respects to someone. You don't even have to get out of your car to see dead people. Isn't that amazing? We're in this fast-paced society. I don't have time. Look at the things that we bring into our homes. How many times are you wishing, man, I wish you would grow up. I wish my kids would grow up. I wish they grew up, then all of a sudden they did. They are. I hope they hurry up and walk. I hope they hurry up and talk. I mean, I hear parents sitting around talking and saying things like, well, my kid walked at 11 months. Well, that ain't nothing. My kid walked at 9 months. Well, my kid walked at 6 months. That's okay. My kid was walking around the womb before he came, you know. And so we guarantee we do this thing. Now, I do have a friend. He's a pastor down in Texas. They had a child that walked at 7 months. He was born with four teeth when he was born. I mean, it's crazy. But you know what? By the time he was 16, they were wishing he was back in the womb, you know, saying he's growing up too fast. We push things and we force things. We want it now. We want things to happen. In the movie Hook, some of you remember that movie a few years ago about Peter Pan and all that stuff that went on. In the movie Hook, Peter Pan says to this little boy, he says, quit acting like a kid. And you know what the kid says? I am a kid. Sometimes we want our children to quit acting like children, but they are. They are, for sure. We want it now. We want it now. Because we don't see instant results, we believe there will be no result. It's kind of like this. I have here a credit card. Now, on this credit card, you can buy what you don't need with money you don't have to keep up with people you don't like. That's what they told me. You can buy what you don't need to keep up with people you don't like. But you can run this card. You just run up there. Now you don't even have to run it. You just tap it. And it goes through. That's wonderful, except at the end of the month. All of a sudden, at the end of the month, you get a bill. And you go, how did that happen? How did that? We want it now. We try to do it instant. And when we do instant, it's going to cost us. We're going to pay. Well, not today. We don't have to pay for it, but we will soon. Someone said, if the wages of sin were paid immediately, sin would not be so popular. What if we were punished immediately? What if the wages of sin were immediate? But they're not. The law says to us that we reap in a different season than we sow. But what about good things? Let's not all bad things. What about sowing some goodness? Sowing good things. What do we do? Paul suggests sow seeds of goodness. In Galatians 6:9, he said, do not grow weary in doing good. Do not grow weary while doing good. Sowing some good things. In due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. It's not merely good enough to see the negative side of the ledger. God intended us to fill the positive side of the ledger. In Ephesians 2:10, it says this, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. God prepared in advance for us to do. He says he wants us to do some good things. And when we do good things, we may not see the results immediately, but we're going to see them. They're going to be there. It's like planting a tree in which you never will sit under the shade of. You still plant the tree. Why? Because someone else may get to see that someday. There are certain things that were planted in this church years ago by people who never got to see the end result. The result's not over yet. Folks, what we plant today, we don't know what God is going to do. But we have to keep doing it. We have to trust the Lord and do good, the scripture tells us. We are to follow in Galatians 6:10. Therefore, if we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith, doing good things so that we can receive them. Maybe we will never see it. But that doesn't mean we don't do it. That doesn't mean we don't remain faithful. That's what he said. Don't grow weary in doing good. Sometimes we say, it's just not worth it. It's just not worth it, but it is. We must trust God. We must trust some things, some seeds of character that we can sow. We need to sow some seeds of trust. We need to sow some seeds of delight, some seeds of joy, some seeds of peace, some seeds of patience, of kindness and goodness. We need to sow those things so that it will change the world around us. Have you ever had someone just do a good deed for you out of the blue, where you weren't even expecting it, and it just blessed your life? What about you? Have you done that for someone else? Have you found opportunity to do that, to encourage someone? It's sowing a seed. Maybe you won't see it immediately, but it will happen. It will happen. We do those things. The whole matter is summed up in a verse found in the book of James. In James 4:17, it says this: "Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, it is sin." When we know that we are to sow some good things, when we know we're supposed to do something good for someone, and we don't do it, the Bible says that is a sin. It's a sin in our life. Jesus also suggested in Matthew 6:19-20 that we lay up some treasures, not here, but in heaven. In Matthew 6:19, it says, "Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal." We are to store up our treasures, not here. Now, I know people store up a lot of treasures here. They store up everything they can store. I heard a man one time who passed away, and before he died, he knew he was getting sick, had cancer. He called several pastor friends that he knew, and he said, "Listen, I want y'all to pray for me and take care of me." And he said, "Here's what I'm going to do." He said, "I know I'm dying. I know I'm not going to last much longer." He said, "At my funeral," he said, "I want to do something." He said, "I'm going to give each one of you $500,000. And when I die, I want you to put it in my casket, because I don't know what it's going to be like when I get to the other side. And I want to make sure I've got money." So he gave these three pastors $500,000, and said, when I die, put it in my casket and take care of it." So a few months later, he passed away, and they had the funeral, and all three of the pastors came by the casket at the end of the service, and each of them placed an envelope in there. A few weeks later, they were all sitting around the coffee shop, and one pastor said, "Man, you know what? I got a confession to make." He said, "My confession is this." He said, I did not put $500,000 out. I only put $400,000 in there. I kept $100,000 out, and I really feel bad, but I put $400,000 in there, and it really bothered me. And so I just want to confess that to you guys." Well, the second guy said, "I got a confession to make too." He said, I didn't put the $500,000 in there either." He said, "I only put $400,000 in there." And he said, "I kept $100,000 out for myself, and I really feel bad about it." And the Baptist preacher said, "Well, I don't feel bad at all." He said, "I wrote a check for all of it and took the cash from you guys." You'll catch that about middle of the afternoon. We sow good things. We sow good things. Sowing seeds. But we also sow with patience. We sow with patience. Sowing seeds with patience. The Bible not only instructs us to do good in that verse, but he says, do it with patience. Paul said, "Let us not grow weary, or do not lose heart." Sometimes we get really tired of sowing. We get really tired of doing good things. Does it really matter? What difference does it make? What difference does it make if we keep on doing it? What difference? What difference? We don't know. God knows. He doesn't tell us, and sometimes he doesn't show us, but he allows it. Because we can't have squash casserole today at lunch doesn't mean we shouldn't sow some seeds. Because one of these days, it's going to grow. Because we don't see immediate results, don't quit keeping on keeping on. Because God wants us to sow good things. In James chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, it says this, "Therefore be patient, brethren. Be patient until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth? Wait patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." We ought to be steadfast, immovable, that scripture that we read. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. The laws of the harvest. We get to reap what we didn't sow. We get to reap the same kind as we sow. We get to reap at a different season. Maybe you're in a season right now where you're not getting the benefits. Or maybe you're in a season right now where, man, you say, I can't keep doing this. But you know that if you do, God says He will bring the harvest someday. Or maybe you're experiencing the joy of the harvest. Maybe you're experiencing the joy that God gives you right now because of something you did long time ago. Or maybe a decision that you made. Maybe a commitment that you made. Maybe something that you did and now you say, man, praise God for the blessings of receiving what God has in store for me. Whatever it is, He says, don't lose heart. Keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. Knowing this, that you will reap a harvest if you do not faint. Bow your heads with me today. Father, we pray that, Lord, as we look at the Lord of the harvest, that, Lord, that we will see your blessings come upon us. Lord, help us not grow weary. It's easy to do sometimes. Lord, I know there's probably somebody in this room today who's weary. They're tired. They want to give up. They want to quit. They want to say enough is enough. But Lord, we know that today you can encourage their hearts. And we ask that you do that. Thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.